in just a second, I'm going to ask somebody to come up here and help me. And they don't have to do anything. It's just set. And so I'll pick somebody in just a minute, and I'll use them to illustrate my message tonight. So we'll put that chair down for them. Well, we read from Exodus chapter 4 a minute ago, and probably all of you recognize that this came from the account of God's call to Moses. He had been tending his father-in-law's sheep in the desert for about 40 years, and the Bible says that one day he noticed a strange sight. There was a bush burning. And that wasn't what was unusual about it. What was unusual about it is it was not consumed. It just kept burning. And Moses told one of his helpers, he said, "I've got to get closer and see what this is all about. I mean, I've seen bushes burn before, but I've never seen one that just continued to burn and the bush wasn't consumed." And of course, we know the story. As he approached that burning bush, he came into the presence of God. And God spoke to him from that bush and said, "Moses, take off your shoes because you're walking on holy ground." And anytime we come into the presence of God, we're walking on holy ground. You can walk on holy ground at your home. We walk on holy ground in this place. And so he came into God's presence, and God says, "You're on holy ground, Moses." And then God said to him, "I've heard the cry of my people." They were slaves in Egypt. They had been slaves for over 400 years. Of course, they came when Joseph brought his family to Egypt to save them from the famine. Chloe, you're going to have to sit down. I can't concentrate with you dancing around, little one, okay? So sit down and be still. They had been slaves for over 400 years, and God saw that and told Moses and said, "Moses, I've seen my people. I've heard the cry of my people. I'm going to send you down there to tell Pharaoh to let them go. I have a land prepared for them, and I want you to lead them to that land." And of course, we had our Sunday school lesson a few weeks ago was about Moses, and Moses said to God, "Hey, you must have the wrong guy. I can't do this." And he gave God a lot of different excuses, and one of the excuses he said was, I can't talk plain. And we don't know if he was afraid of talking in public or he had a speech impediment or what it was. But he said, "I can't talk plain, and Pharaoh's not going to listen to me." He said, "Who am I? Why would Pharaoh listen to me? The people, your people, are not going to listen to me." And here in chapter 4, they were still talking about it, and God said to Moses, "What's that in your hand?" Now, God knows everything. He knew what was in Moses' hand. But he wanted Moses to answer the question. He wanted Moses to tell God what he had in his hand. And Moses said, "Well, it's a rod. It's a stick. It's a limb of a tree that I've made into a walking stick. I use it to help me walk. I use it to help me tend my sheep." And God said, "Well, Moses, take that rod and throw it on the ground." Well, and so Moses took the rod and threw it on the ground. And the Bible says it became a snake. Now, I identify with Moses in this regard. The Bible says he fled from that snake. When I see snakes, I don't stand around to study them. I flee. They can have whatever they want, unless my grandkids are out there, and I guess it might do something different then. But if there's nobody in danger, I'll just leave them alone and let them have the area. And so Moses fled. And then God came and said to him again, said, "Moses, pick that snake up by the tail." And I'm sure Moses said, "Now I know you got the wrong guy. If this is what you're calling me to do, I am just not qualified for this job." But he didn't argue with God. You got to give him credit for that. The Bible says he picked it up by the tail, and it became a rod in his hand again. And I want to tell you, I have trouble with that passage of Scripture in the last chapter of Mark when it talks about those folks that will handle snakes and not be harmed. Why would anybody want to test God in that way? Just stay away from them. So anyhow, he picked it up. It became a rod again. And God said, "Moses, I want you to believe, and I'm going to send you to Pharaoh so that he'll believe, and I'm going to send you to my people so that they'll believe that the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared unto you. And when you stand before Pharaoh and when you stand before my people, you will be talking for me. You're going to use that rod to free my people from Egypt. And he was going to take that rod and use it in a mighty way. And we'll talk about it in just a little bit, the different things that he did with that rod to do what God called him to do. All right, so I have 5 points this morning. Not this morning, but tonight. Brother Clyde Vaughn, would you come up here, please, sir, and help me in my message? I'm positive. I haven't picked on you for a while. You probably think your pastor doesn't love you. And so I just need you, just all you have to do is sit down in that chair and stay awake for about the next 10 minutes and help me illustrate my message. I want you to notice 5 things. They were true about Moses, and they're true about every one of us. First point is this: God had a job that he needed done. He needed somebody to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, I want you to let my people go. He needed somebody to go to his people in Egypt and said, hey, the Lord God of your fathers has heard your cry, and he sent me to bring you out of Egypt and bring you into a land that I prepared. And God had Moses, made Moses, and had Moses born at the very time that he needed Moses to be born. Now, again, you remember when Moses was born. It was a hard time for the Israelites. The Egyptians were letting the little girls live that were born, but the little boys, they were killing because the people were multiplying more, and the Egyptians were worried that they were going to be able, because of their number, to rise up in revolt. So they were killing the little boys. And you remember, his parents hid him as long as they could. His mom made a little ark of bulrushes and tarred it within and without and put him in the river, left his sister Miriam there to watch. And you remember the circumstances of how Moses was found by the princes and brought into Pharaoh's court. So here's the point. Again, I'm going to use Brother Clyde as an example tonight. God had a job that he needed done. And at the very time, 120 years ago, that Clyde should have been born, he was born. 120, is that right?
That's pretty close.
All right. You see, God, and this is part of my second point. God had some training to do for Moses, and so God needed some time to get Moses ready. And so he didn't wait till he needed somebody to lead the people out and say, okay, Moses, you got to be born now. But he had him born 80 years before he was ready to send him to Egypt. Now, God had a job for Clyde to do. And there's going to be some preparation involved. And we'll talk about that in point number two. But at the very time that Clyde needed to be born, God had him born. At the very time Moses needed to be born, God had him born. And God put into Moses, as a person, everything that he would need to do the job that God had Moses to do. In the same way, God had a job for Clyde to do, and when he was born, he put into Clyde, I mean, before Clyde knew anything about God, God put into Clyde what he needed for Clyde to do the job that God was going to call him to do. And the same thing he's done for each of us. He had us born at the very time he wanted us to be born. None of us were accidents. We were all on purpose births. I know some of you are the last child, and there was a number of years between your youngest sibling before you and you. And I've heard different people say, well, I was the uh-oh child, or I was the accident child. And again, there's no uh-ohs with God. There are no accidents with God. I mean, every little child that's born is by the divine plan of God, because he has a job that he needs to be done, and he has that. He makes that little child, forms that little child, so that child has in his being, in his character, in his genes, however you want to say it, in his makeup, he has in his makeup, put there by God, the very things that God needs for him to do the job that God's going to call him to do. And so Moses was no accident. He was born on purpose, and God put him all together with the very things that he would need to lead God's people out of Egypt. Then second, God prepared him. He spent 40 years in the courts of Pharaoh. He was educated in the Egyptian education system. He was trained as a prince of Egypt. And so he was trained to be a leader. He was trained to rule. He was trained to be an administrator. He was trained to plan. He was trained probably in the military. I mean, all the things that you can think of just as well as I can that Pharaoh would train one of his princes to do, that's the training that Moses had. And then he spent 40 years tending sheep in the desert. He was about 40 years old when he left Egypt, and he spent 40 years in the desert tending a bunch of dumb sheep, putting into practice everything that he'd learned in Egypt. I mean, God was getting him ready. I mean, God was getting him ready to lead his children out of Egypt to the promised land, and he put into Moses' being everything that he needed, and then he trained what he put in Moses to do what God called him to do. Now, the same way with Brother Clyde. He made him for the job. Let's talk about his singing. You know, a couple of years ago, we celebrated their 50 years of gospel singing. Let's just talk about that part of Brother Clyde's life. God put in him, when he made him, a love for music. He put in him when he made him the ability, the natural abilities to play and to sing. And then he trained him. I don't know how much, never mind, Brother Clyde. I won't ask you that. But God spent some time training this when he was a boy and when he was a young man, when he was a teenager, when he, you know, as he grew, and probably God's still training him. If you listen to Frida, she'll tell you that. But God is still preparing him because he's still got a job for Brother Clyde to do. And the same thing is true of all of us. He put in us, and then he prepares us to get ready to do the job that he has for us to do. And I know some of you are saying, "Preacher, I'm 70 years old. This is a wonderful message for the young people, but not for me." Listen, there's no discharge in this war, the Bible says. If you're still breathing God's air, walking on God's earth, he's got a reason for you to be here. He's got a purpose for you to be here. And he is still preparing you for that purpose. I mean, you may have filled one job. You may have done several jobs for God already. But the fact that you're still here means he's not done with you. And if he needs to prepare you further, it doesn't matter if you're 60 or 70 or even 80 years old. God will prepare you and call you to do that job that he wants for you to do. And so he made us, he prepares us. Number three, he says, "I'm going to call you." And that's what he did to Moses. That's what we read about in the book of Exodus. We read about the call of God to Moses. Again, it took place at the burning bush. He said, "Look, I've made you, I prepared you, and now I want you to go. I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to go to Pharaoh. I want you to stand before him. I want you to tell him to let my people go. I want you to go to my people and tell them that I've sent you. And you just go and do what I have prepared you to do." Now, same way God did to Brother Clyde. At some point in his life, he realized that God wanted him to be a gospel singer. I think it was at an early age, wasn't it, Brother Clyde? That God wanted him to sing for his glory, to sing about his son, to sing about heaven, to sing about the gospel, all the things that gospel songs include. And God called him to that ministry, this ministry that they've had for over 50 years, a ministry that we enjoy, that we get to enjoy because they're a part of our church. Now, God does the same thing for each of us. Let me tell you, he got Moses' attention with the burning bush. I want to tell you, God knows how to get our attention. He knows how to get your attention. God knows how to get my attention. I can remember the night that he called me to preach. I was shy. I mean, I didn't get saved for a long time because I did not want to walk up in front of the church in front of people. I was so glad when my pastor called me back to his office and I got to go to his office and be saved. And when God started speaking to me about being a preacher of the gospel, I said, "God, I flunked speech class. I can't stand up in front of people." I mean, when I first started preaching, my hands would just shake like this. I remember the first sermon I preached. I didn't move from the pulpit because I didn't want to see anybody my knees knocking together. I mean, I was afraid, and I argued with God for a long time. I was like Moses. I gave him every excuse in the book. "I can't do this. I remember when I surrendered to preach, my dad told me, you can't do that. You're not a good speaker. Why would you think that God's calling you to be a preacher? And I don't have time to tell you that whole story, but my dad finally came around and was an encouragement to me to be a preacher. Look, God knows how to get our attention. And he knows how to overcome, listen to this, he knows how to overcome every argument that we raise up to him. He made us. He prepares us. He calls us. And then number four, quickly, the only thing he expects us to do is to use what he's given us. Moses, what's in your hand? You say you can't go to Egypt and do what I want you to do. What's in your hand? Just a rod, Lord. It's just a stick. Well, throw it on the ground. Threw it on the ground. It became a stick. Pick it up. No, I don't want to. Pick it up. Took it by the tail and became a rod. He said, you're going to use that stick. You're going to use that stick in front of Pharaoh. You're going to use that stick in front of my people. That's the rod he smote the water with and turned it to blood. That's the rod that he stretched over the water that brought forth frogs. That's the rod that smote the dust that brought the lice into Egypt. That's the rod that he raised toward heaven and thunder and hail and fire fell from heaven. That's the rod that he raised over the land of Egypt and the locusts came. That's the rock the rod that he smote the rock of Horeb and brought forth water. All God says to us is, I'm not asking something you can't do. I just want you to use what you have. I want you to use yourself. I made you. I prepared you. And again, God never asked us to do anything that we can't do or he hadn't prepared us to do. When God called Brother Clyde to be a gospel singer, he'd made him. He'd prepared him. Knowing Brother Clyde, he didn't argue at all. He says, I'm ready. And he was. And that's the way we all ought to be toward God. We ought not to argue. We ought not to throw up excuses. If God calls us to do something, we ought to just get with it. We ought to just do it. He made us. He prepared us. He calls us. And he just says, just use what you have. And then number five, God used Moses to accomplish the task. Now, it took him a little bit longer than God expected. And Moses actually didn't get to go into the promised land. And again, I don't have time to tell you the story. Most of you know it tonight. The job that God had for Moses to do took some twists and turns that maybe at the beginning they weren't seen, especially by Moses. God knew what was going to happen, but Moses didn't know exactly how long it was going to take when they started. He didn't know how it was going to turn out. He didn't know about the detours and the potholes that were going to show up along the way. And I'm sure Brother Clyde, if I gave him time to testify tonight, he could tell you there was some tough times when they were singing. There were some things that happened as they were singing that were a discouragement. There might have even been some times where they might have said, well, maybe we ought just not to do this anymore. But they went on, just like Moses went on. Because Moses knew that God had called him and prepared him and made him to do that particular job. And God has only said, I just want you to use what you have. Now, same thing's true of us. God calls us to do something. And again, I'm not just talking about one thing in life. I think God calls us to do many things in life. And I think God prepares us to do those things in life. And I think those things that he calls us to do, he's given us what we need to do it. It may take longer than we think. There may be detours and potholes along the way. But if we stay at it, listen, the children of Israel got out of Egypt and they came to the promised land. And again, Moses didn't get to lead them in. But he brought him right up to the edge, and he got Joshua ready to lead him in. And in the same way, if we stay at it, God will accomplish what he wants us to accomplish in our life. So let's just stay at it. Let's just stay at it. He made you to do it. He prepared you to do it. He called you to do it. He just wants you to use what you have. So just get at it and get it done. Thank you, Brother Clyde, for being my example tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for doing that for us. Thank you that you had a purpose when we were born, and you made us to fulfill that purpose. You prepared us to fulfill that purpose. You called us. We might have argued. We might have said, like Moses, you've got the wrong guy. Surely there's somebody else that can do this job. But Father, you called us. And then you just ask us to use what you gave us, our rods, those things that you've put in our life, those things that you've put in our hands. And you use them in ways that were beyond our comprehension. You use them in ways to accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. And so I pray, Father, that each of us would realize tonight that we were made by you. We were made for a purpose. And we just need to get busy accomplishing what you've called us to do. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that has never answered the call of salvation, they're still in their sin. Just help them remember what Michael was saying about just a minute ago. Oh, you love them so much. You love them so much. Brother Leroy testified that so great salvation that sent your son to die on a cross for us. And I pray even if there's just one here tonight that's never received the gift of salvation, that Holy Spirit, you would bring them to the Savior tonight. They would see their sin, the penalty for that sin. They would see the price that Jesus paid for it on Calvary. He paid it all, like we sang this morning. Paid everything we owe. And if they'd simply come to him, he'd give them eternal life. So again, Father, if there's just one, help them to come during this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts as Christians. Help us to do what you call us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.